You're listening to a podcast from 702.
The Worldview with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
It's 20 minutes after 8 and good morning to you, Adam. The Worldview from London.
Good morning, Bongani.
You're starting with a siege in Afghanistan. At least 19 people have been killed in that awful incident at that Kabul hotel.
Yes, that siege when the gunmen burst in and they let off hand grenades and started firing indiscriminately into the dining room and then dragged people out of their rooms in the hotel. There was an IT conference going on at the time, so quite a lot of IT workers in the hotel. And also it's known that, quote, foreigners were being targeted. They had specifically asked for foreigners. At the end of it, though, the Afghan security forces moved in. The 12-hour siege was ended, and we know that, as you say, at least 19 people have been killed. It could be a lot higher than that, and the death toll at this stage isn't absolutely clear. And yet we know that 9 Ukrainians, a German, a Greek, and a Kazakh are amongst the dead, as well as the 5 Afghan attackers, all said to be Taliban. The extraordinary thing about this, and there are, of course, some amazing survival stories also coming out about people hiding under beds and behind pillars and so forth, but also is that last Thursday, the American embassy in the Afghan capital had warned of an attack on a hotel. Lo and behold, 3 days later, it happened.
And of course, it's a winter of discontent in the UK. It's a grim one for you, the weather making its presence felt. Crashes and rescues.
Yes, there were some idiot you may know, Bongani, who was playing tennis in the snow yesterday for 2.5 hours.
Why, oh why?
I know, we were exactly what we said. We looked at each other and asked that. And it was non-settling snow, I have to say. it was cold, though. But far worse in northern England and Scotland, where the snow has settled and caused all sorts of problems. And as you say, rescues. 2 climbers had to be rescued by helicopter 3,000 feet up a Scottish mountain. They'd got stranded in blizzard conditions. One of the things they didn't know when they got stranded was that there was a sheer drop just a few metres away, and obviously they couldn't see where they were going, so they stopped in the nick of time. They had to spend the night, though, without shelter at temperatures that were hitting, or I should say plunging, to minus 13, and numerous road accidents. And we've had this wonderful conundrum. It doesn't really happen so much in the ski resorts on the continent because they're sort of set up better and their snow stays. But in the UK, there are 5 ski resorts, all in Scotland, and those 5 ski resorts need a heavy snowfall to operate because the snow doesn't linger. So they've had the heavy snowfall, but then getting there has been almost impossible. So how you square that circle is a very neat trick, because there have been all sorts of crashes and accidents of people trying to go skiing in the sort of 48-hour window they have to do it.
Yeah, no, rather you than me, I tell you that. A bridge across what was once troubled waters?
Yeah, maybe. The English Channel between England and France, and obviously there are all sorts of connections, ferries, planes, and in particular the Channel Tunnel, but a bridge is being mooted by the UK Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson. This has also come out of the meeting with President Macron of France, and it's all very blue sky thinking and outside of the box, although it's been kicked around I don't know how long for. Certainly, I'd say the last 50 or 60 years, and then kicked out again. But also, it's about building a bridge because the English Channel is the world's busiest shipping lane, so all the struts and things will get in the way. It's also prone to fog, which will make it extra difficult. Currently, the world's longest suspension bridge is less than 3 miles, but we're talking about a 21-mile gap. And the price tag, how's this? According to engineers, to build a bridge between England and France would cost around £120 billion, or roughly speaking, 2 trillion rand.
Boy, we could use some of that, I can tell you. And of course, it's been a year of President Trump.
Yeah. Isn't it extraordinary? One down, maybe 7 to go. And yet he has the distinction of celebrating his first anniversary in the White House, the federal government shutting down. They haven't felt it so much yet in America, but when they wake up, there'll be all sorts of elements who won't be being paid and will be closed and be sent home, including the U.S. military. I gather that the American soldiers won't get paid as long as this goes on. They couldn't agree a budget, essentially, and some are blaming the Democrats, some are blaming the Republicans, some are blaming the president. But one piece of first anniversary analysis is quite interesting. President Trump's Twitter dawn chorus. He specifically aims his tweets. They may seem a bit random, but his peak Twitter activity is 6:45 Washington time every morning. He's hitting a peak audience. He's not stupid. In the last 4 years, Donald Trump has tweeted the word great 3,337 times, the Making America Great Again 1,400 times. Not surprisingly, in his tweets, Russia, crooked Hillary, Obama and fake news all get plenty of attention. And you know how in the UK we talk about a special relationship with America? Well, he tweeted UK or Britain 7 times in 4 years. I'm getting the feeling we're not as special as we thought we were.
And you're saying he's not what? Adam Gilchrist, thank you there with the World View from London. Now, every day on the Emirates World View, we've been asking you to send us a question on any world topic you want to know more about. Today's question comes from Brandon Ferlito, and it's a tweet, and Brandon wants to know, why is New York City known as the Big Apple? Hashtag Emirates World View. To get the answer, we spoke to Cindy Harvey, who's the spokesperson for the U.S. Embassy in Toria.
New York City has been called many things: the Great American Melting Pot, Gotham, the city that never sleeps, but its most famous nickname, without a doubt, is the Big Apple. There have been many ideas about how New York came to be called the Big Apple. The nickname springs from a catchphrase used in the 1920s by New York Morning Telegraph sports writer John J. Fitzgerald in his horse racing column called Around the Big Apple. At the time, the jockeys and trainers of smaller horses were said to want to make the Big Apple their name for big money prizes at larger races in and around New York City. Throughout the 20th century, it remained New York City's nickname until it was officially adopted by the city in the 1970s. The New York Convention and Visitors Bureau hoped that using the moniker would brighten the image of New York City.
Well, congratulations then to Brandon Ferlito for having your Emirates Worldview question answered. You have won R1,000 courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates, hello tomorrow.
If you have a burning question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702 or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on 702.co.za.